Goedemorgen en hartelijk welkom bij deze uitzending van Hour of Power. Een bijzondere uitzending, want het is vandaag de 2000ste aflevering van Hour of Power. En dat wordt natuurlijk gevierd in de Crystal Cathedral. En ook hier een feestelijk tintje met het gospelkoor Elijah, dat al zo vrolijk begon met Amen. Ik vind het leuk, want het koor, daar zitten een aantal van mijn buurmeisjes onder. Dus het is een beetje een thuiswedstrijd. En dat is het ook een beetje voor ons in Nederland. Want wij vieren over een paar maanden de 500ste uitzending. Dus kortom, maar we gaan nu naar de Crystal Cathedral, want daar is het groot feest. Alle koren treden op, bijzondere sprekers. En heel bijzonder is dat Robbie Schuller, de derde, dus de kleinzoon van de oude dominee Schuller, echt een geweldige toespraak zal houden met een visie over de toekomst van de kerk. Nou, dit zijn allemaal Hour of Power kijkers, dus wat zeggen we dan met de 2000ste aflevering?
From the Crystal Cathedral in Garden Grove, California, stay tuned for this historic 2000th telecast of the Hour of Power with Robert Schuller.
This is the day that God has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
It's the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning, and welcome to the 2000th broadcast for the Hour of Power. And if you want to applaud that, you may. That's an accomplishment. And so we are very, very honored to be able to have my father with us for this amazing event of 2,000 broadcasts. I'm here as well, and then my son is here, and he's going to be delivering the message, Robert Vernon Schuller. And so it's going to be a wonderful morning today. It's because we are actually celebrating our past, we're rejoicing in our present, and we're believing in our future. So if you want to take a moment right now and welcome those who are standing next to you and behind you, would you please reach out to one another and allow the love of God to flow through you and share his love with one another. God loves you, and so do I. God loves you, Dad, and so do I. And so, Lord, we thank you that your love abounds, that you love us. And because you love us, we can love others. And we thank you for your miracles, for being in the hand of this ministry for two 1,000 broadcasts as we have reached out to touch hearts and souls and minds and develop the love of Jesus Christ in and around the world. And so we thank you, Lord, and we praise your name always and forever. Amen.
I'm holding in my hand the bulletin 38 years ago. The cover is the Tower of Hope and this congregation. And in it, it says, at the top, televangelism report. It's the first time the word televangelism was used. And here's what the bulletin said 35 years ago. A message from Robert Schuller. This is a history-making Sunday for Jesus Christ. We are videotaping our 9:30 service to begin a great outreach across the Southland. In less than 30 days, the 12 million Southern Californians from Santa Barbara to San Diego will be able to join this church at worship over television. What can you do? Number one, pray that God will use this enormous outreach to change the Southland in the 70s. Number two, visualize empty lives in homes, hospitals, hotels, and pray for these invisible visitors. Consider prayerfully becoming a sponsor of this program. You will be the only sponsor. This is a venture of faith. Yours to save America for Christ in the 70s. That was my morning announcement in the bulletin 38 years ago. And God surely has answered and used your prayers. Look what you have done. It's not my ministry, it's God's ministry using all of us. Thank you, Lord. Now, hear these magnificent words of praise to God from Psalm 89. I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth, I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. I will declare, God, that your love stands firm forever, that you have established your faithfulness in heaven itself. The heavens praise your wonders, your faithfulness too, in the assembly of the holy ones. For who in the skies above can compare with the Lord? Who is like the Lord among the heavenly beings? In the council of the holy ones, God is greatly trusted. He is more awesome than all who surround him. Who is like you, Lord God Almighty? You, Lord, are mighty, and your faithfulness surrounds you. Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence, O Lord. They rejoice in your name all day long. This is the word of God.
It is my honor to welcome back to the Crystal Cathedral a dear friend of this ministry, Michael Gillen. We first met Michael when he was the science correspondent for ABC, including 2020, and he came and shared how science and religion actually do connect. Since then, Michael has been here many times, and through it all, we have seen the hand of God work in Michael's life and the life of his family, and here to share it personally with us, please welcome Michael Gillen. Michael, God loves you.
Hey, Bob.
And so do we.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you, brothers and sisters. Thank you.
Well, when we asked you to come and be our guest here today on number 2000,
right.
You said yes.
Well, right I said, away. Let me think about it for a microsecond.
Yes. Yes.
First of all, I'm tremendously honored to be here to help celebrate the 2000th telecast. I hate to admit that much time has gone by because this ministry has ministered to my adulthood more than any other. And that's a mouthful when you consider that my own, as you know, my grandfathers and my father were all Spanish-speaking Pentecostal ministers. And I was raised in that tradition, and my paternal grandfather in particular just meant a great deal to me. But this ministry, Bob, has been with my family and I through thick and thin, through all the ups and downs we all experience in our lifetimes. I remember when my mom was diagnosed with breast cancer at age 45, this ministry was there to comfort her and to comfort us. And when that disease took her away, this ministry was there to comfort her in her last days. This ministry was there when my father was diagnosed with melanoma. And this ministry was there comforting him in his last days, and us as well. When Laurel, my wife, and I were struggling to have a family, this ministry was there, comforting us and guiding us. And I remember one specific incident, Bob, when we were in the throes of this crisis in our lives. I wanted to reach out to your dad for some advice and some prayer. And I remember calling the main number, and they said, well, he's been invited by the Pope to be in Vatican to watch Mother Teresa be beatified. And they put me through to him all the way to the Vatican, and there he was. And it was amazing to me that the ministry was there even in that time when I'm sure it wasn't convenient to receive a call from me. This ministry has been with my family when our struggle to have a family had a happy ending. And I can only tell you, Bob, that I'm not alone. There's nothing special about me. I've seen this ministry minister to tens of millions of people. But I remember one instance, for example, you and your dad came to Boston. And it was a big event. Do you remember that?
Yes,
and
I do.
We were invited to sit at the head table. And I remember your dad not even being able to eat his dinner because there was a line of people just wanting to thank him for all the things that this ministry had done in their lives. I could go on and on and on, but I can tell you, quite honestly, that I thank the Lord every single day that this ministry came into my life, because I can't imagine what my life would have been without it, Bob. And I just want to thank your dad and you and Robbie, the whole Schuller family, the staff and all the other ministers, and every single one of you, brothers and sisters, who have been there through it all. I just want to thank you on this special occasion. God bless you all. Thank you.
Yeah. We've got a box full. There's more where that
Before
came from.
Before I get through this, I may need the whole box.
Well, there you
let me
go.
Take an extra.
I'll take one, too, just in case I need one as well.
But that's the beauty, right? We've cried and we've laughed together, and that's what life is about, and that's what this ministry has been. Through the medium of television, which I know so well, you've been able to touch the lives of many people all around the world in the most intimate way, and it's really wonderful.
Well, I know that you have a beautiful son,
yes.
And what a tremendous gift from God that is, and
yes.
and a wonderful wife. Your wife is here today. Laurel, where is she?
Laurel and my son, if you guys want to stand up, just...
There's Laurel.
There is a miracle.
And
I'd love to tell the story.
Tell the story, please.
I'd love to tell the story because this is a story of God's mercy and love. When my wife and I got married, you know, we expected, like with any marriage, there would be rough spots along the way, right? You don't expect a perfect marriage. But never in my wildest dreams, Bob, did I ever expect that having children would have been a problem among the problems we would face. I always just assumed, like most young couples when they get married, that, you know, you would have children, and I wanted a big family. I was the last male in the Gillen family, and so naturally I wanted a son to pass on the name. It was very deep for me. So it was a shock to us when we found out we weren't able to have children, and being in the public that I am, I have access to all the best doctors in the country. We were living at Boston at the time, and so we went to see the biggest infertility doctor in town. And I remember he put us through all these tests, and he called us into his office, and he said, well, he said, I have some good news and bad news for you. He said, the good news is you both check out medically. You're just fine. He said, the bad news is you have what's called unexplained infertility. And I thought to myself, well, gee, thanks a lot. That sheds a lot of light on the problem. Yeah. And then I got his bill, and I thought, well, yeah, thanks a lot. I could have said that even before coming here. But little did we know that that was the beginning of one of the most painful but ultimately joyous experiences of our life. And it brought us close to the Lord, and it turned out to be such a blessing. We did all the things that a well-educated modern couple would do. We had all the medical procedures up to a point. There were things that we didn't believe in, but nothing worked. And so we ran out of options. Our minds just couldn't think of anything else to do. And then I remember one Sunday driving home from church. This was back in Boston. And both of us simultaneously were convicted with the same feeling. We had to adopt. And of course, then all the fears and all the trepidations and the million and one questions. But the Lord kept us going. And in the end, he delivered the most beautiful son any father could possibly have. And there's no way that we could have a child more like ourselves and we could love more than the son that God delivered to us. It's just, and every time, every morning when I wake him up to prepare him for school, I look into his face and I see the eyes of Jesus staring back at me and saying, fear not, for I am here with you always. And I see the love of Jesus and his mercy in my son's eyes.
Last time you were here, I understand you were ordained.
Oh, yes.
Has that had any impact on your life?
Has that had an impact? You know, I was, many of you know, I was born in the Mexican barrio of East L.A., and little did I know that my life would become entwined in the life of this precious ministry, but it did. And gradually, as I've just described, this ministry has been a part of my life, all culminating in that moment when you and your father ordained me. And it was remarkable timing, Bob, because it was at a time when I had just written my third book called Can a Smart Person Believe in God? And I remember when I had told my agents I was going to write this book, and I already written two best-selling math books, and I told them I was going to write this, they kind of looked at me as if I had three heads. Can a smart person believe in God? Why do you want to write a book like that? You're a scientist. And I said, this is not a book that I want to write. This is a book that the Lord wants me to write. And what has happened when you ordained me is that that book and that ordination has allowed me now to realize what I believe is my destiny, the destiny that was foreshadowed by my father and my two grandfathers, and that is to have a ministry of my own. And from this day on, Bob, my pledge to the Lord before you all, here and now, is to do nothing but to serve the Lord till the day they bury me in the ground. I've served my career. But when I surrendered my life to the Lord, I intend to serve him for the remainder of my day.
Michael, thank you. We have produced a Bible here. We call it our Powerful Life Bible. But we want to give this to you right now as our way of saying thank you to you for coming, for being a minister for this church, for continuing to share the good news of Jesus Christ with all you meet and being a positive example for young men and women around the world who are in academia studying science today. And for that, we want to say thank you.
Thank you.
I want to give you this Bible.
Thank you, Bob.
God loves you.
Thank you so much. Laurel and I will read this, and it's yet one more gift from a ministry that has changed my life and changed the lives of millions around the world. God bless you, and this is just the beginning. This
Amen.
Is just the beginning, brothers and sisters.
Amen.
Let's go into the fruits of boldness.
Yes, we will. Thank you, Michael. God loves you, and so do we.
It's schrijven ze mij een pretje eigenlijk. Ik vind het heerlijk om achter dat scherm te zitten en dan mijn fantasieën te laten lopen. Ik weet ook nooit hoe iets afloopt.
Mijn carrière wordt elders gepland, die wordt boven gepland. Ik wacht dat wel af.
Ja. Dat belerende is er een beetje uit.
Mensen die geloven en die Christus in hun hart hebben gesloten, dat ouderwetse en... een beetje conventionele mensen zijn. Dat is helemaal niet zo.
Oh, nou, ik was helemaal... Dus ik bellen naar familielid van... Nou, je moet nu echt naar de Hour of Power kijken. Dit is zo geweldig.
Hoe sta ik in het leven? Wat kan ik voor anderen betekenen? Hoe kijk je aan tegen die samenleving? En wat betekent geloof daarin? Dat zijn essentiële vragen.
Ze nemen plastic tassen mee met sambalballen of met tamboerijn. Als je dat mee zou nemen, dan kan ik natuurlijk denken, die man is gek geworden, weet je wel.
Met die honderden miljoenen telefoontjes, hè? Waar ben je? Waar ben je? Waar ben je? Dat is de meest gestelde vraag. Nou, exact de vraag die God stelt aan Adam.
Tuurlijk is dominee Schuner een andere man dan bij wijze van spreken het dronken Jantje van de hoek die in de kroeg zit. Maar dat mag hij, maar dat is een verschijningsvorm. In wezen zoekt hij ook God in zijn leven.
Maar het betekent niet dat het weg is, Jan. Mag ik dat ook zeggen? Maar ik heb maar een klein hartje, dat weet ik wel.
Hour of Power heeft in Nederland inmiddels in de afgelopen 10 jaar... zo'n 500 uitzendingen voor u verzorgd. Daarin heeft presentator Jan van der Bos de meest uiteenlopende personen geïnterviewd, bekende en minder bekende Nederlanders. De gesprekken met maar liefst 50 van zijn gasten zijn gebundeld in het prachtige jubileumboek Zonder geloof kan ik niet functioneren. Deze bijzondere uitgave van dit jubileumboek is ons feestelijk welkomstgeschenk voor iedere nieuwe donateur. Via uw bijdrage, klein of groot, steunt u ons werk in Nederland. We zijn u daarvoor enorm dankbaar, want Hour of Power is volledig afhankelijk van haar donateurs. Donateur worden kan via www.hourofpower.nl of vraag informatie aan via 035 538 0588.
De 2000ste uitzending en je zag de ontroering bij Mike McKillen. En die ontroering die kennen heel veel mensen. Want Hour of Power brengt hoop en verwachting bij mensen wereldwijd. 40 miljoen mensen kijken elke zondag. En dat is natuurlijk een enorm aantal van China tot Zuid-Afrika en van IJsland tot Peru. Maar ook in Nederland hebben we honderdduizenden kijkers. En onder andere dit koor. En ik ga naar Treya toe. Treya, je bent oprichter van Elijah. Waarom ben je ermee begonnen?
Omdat ik heel veel van zingen hou. En,
maar dan moet je nog een heleboel mensen vinden die ook van zingen houden. Natuurlijk.
Maar dat was heel makkelijk, want er zitten allemaal zangleerlingen in. En daarvan wist ik natuurlijk dat ze van zingen hielden.
Jullie zingen fantastisch. Dat Amen, dat was net geweldig. Het lijkt bijna een black gospel choir. Hoe krijg je dat er zo mooi uit bij zo weinig mensen?
Proberen om aan overgave te werken. Dus echt niet nadenken, gewoon zingen. Vanuit hart en ziel.
Wat is dat met hart en ziel zingen?
Dat gaat vanzelf. Als je hier tussen komt staan, maar ook als je in het publiek zit, dan voel je volgens mij wat zij doen qua energie en verbondenheid. En dan gaat het bijna vanzelf.
Ja. Jullie zingen gospel. Dat doe je met reden. Waarom juist gospel?
Ja, dat doen we met reden. Omdat de teksten vaak zo bemoedigend zijn en troostrijk en optimistisch. Dat is de reden waarom wij gospel en soul zingen.
Ja. Gospel en soul, dat is gerelateerd aan meestal de Negro spirituals. Die werden geboren op de slavenvelden. Dus die waren helemaal niet zo optimistisch en zo blij.
Nee, maar het ging wel over hoop. En dat het ooit wel ergens goed zou komen.
Ja. Hour of Power gaat ook over hoop. Daarvoor heet het ook Hour of Power. Een hour van kracht en van hoop. Jij kijkt, je zegt het helpt ons als koor om ons te inspireren. Dat vond ik heel erg mooi.
Ja, bemoediging. Dat je niet alleen staat, maar dat er... moet af en toe zoeken met een vergrootglas, maar het is er wel.
Ja, en het blijft er ook, hè?
En het blijft ook.
Oké. Okay. Ik ga even naar een van de andere koorleden toe. Janine, kom eens even naar voren. Weet je, jullie lijken bijna op het koor van de Christelijke Cathedral, hè? Het heeft een iets ander patroon.
Dezelfde kleur, hè?
Dezelfde kleur, ja. Je staat te stralen. Waarom?
Ja, het is zo genieten hier, om hier in die tuin te staan en om de bomen en de wind te horen. En het is gewoon leuk om te doen.
Ja. Ja. Waarom zing je?
Ik zing omdat ik daar heel veel energie in kwijt kan, heel veel gevoel. En vooral gospel, de mooie teksten.
En, wat is jouw favoriete gospel?
Mijn favoriete gospel is toch wel Happy Day.
Even horen.
Oh, happy day.
Ja, geweldig, hè? When Jesus took my sins away.
Ja,
dat is ook een hele mooie zin. Dit koor lijkt een ongelooflijk diepe vriendschap met elkaar te hebben. Je hebt ook mensen die zingen en die gaan weer uit elkaar. Maar volgens mij gaat het verder bij jullie. Ja? Is dat de knipoog, Anita?
Ja, we hebben ook heel veel met elkaar meegemaakt. Ja? En het is ook vooral omdat we zoveel verschillende dingen doen. Bijvoorbeeld, we zingen op herdenkingsdiensten, we zingen op bruiloften, we staan in het theater. Dus dat zijn allemaal verschillende dingen die je met elkaar meemaakt. En dat geeft zo'n enorme verbondenheid met elkaar. Dat is echt heel mooi om te doen. Toch, jongens?
Ja, ik kun je nee tegen zeggen. Nee, ja. Wie zijn in het koor de baas, de dames of de heren? De vraag stellen is haar beantwoorden. Ja. De heren staan ook netjes achteraan, de dames vooraan. Dus, jullie gaan nog een lied voor ons zingen.
Ja.
Op deze feestelijke dag, want het is de 2000ste aflevering van Hour of Power. En in november hebben wij de 500ste aflevering.
Ja, geweldig.
Leuk, hè?
Ja.
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 Welk lied gaan jullie zingen?
We gaan Tom My Father's House. We gaan Tom My Father's House zingen.
Ja.
Ja.
Waar gaat het over?
Ja, dat gaat over de verbondenheid, de kerk, over God. En over dat het zo geweldig is dat je samen bent. Dat eigenlijk de wereld één groot huis is waar we met elkaar thuis mogen zijn.
In het huis van de Vader.
Precies.
We gaan graag naar jullie luisteren. En bedankt dat jullie hier op deze feestelijke dag voor ons wilde komen.
Thou art, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think of God his Son, not sparing, gave him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. To take me home, what joy shall fill my heart, and I shall bow in humble adoration, and there proclaim, my God, how great. Sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my
fantastic job, my friend. Great job. Good morning. It's a real privilege, I have to be honest, to be here and speak to you. They called me on the phone a couple months ago and said, hey, we want you to come and speak to at the cathedral. And I said, okay, great, sounds good. And then they said, and by the way, this is the 2000th Hour of Power episode. So I was like, okay. And we want you to speak about the future, all right? And you're going to be there with your dad and your grandpa. And it's like, all right, man, you know what? Okay, so I'm here. I'm stoked to be here, and it's really a privilege. And in all reality, this is really a huge honor and a privilege for me to be able to come here and to speak not just to this church, but to the 19 million people all over the world in 120 countries to just say one thing, and that is, to believe in your future. Would you bow your heads with me? I'd like to pray. Spirit of the living God that lives and moves and is alive in everything, we pray, God, that you would be present with us here. Lord, speak to our hearts, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Reveal to us the things we need to change. Inspire us, mold us, inform us, push us out of our comfort zones. Change us, make us more like Jesus. I pray, God, less of me and more of you. I pray for your words in this place this morning, in Christ's name. Amen. You have your Bibles, Jeremiah 29:11. famous verse. Take these words as words from God to you, personally, a prophecy, a word of knowledge, to you specifically right now. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. If there's anything about our world, it is that it is changing. Can I get an amen? If you're from the South, I want you to say amen because it's hot. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Man, it's a changing world. We have new technology. We have iPods. We have iMacs. We have iPhones. We have YouTube. We have MySpace. We have Facebook. We have new cars and freeways and buildings, intersections, growing cities. Changing morals, changing worldviews. Postmodernism. We have a world that is growing and moving constantly. And in the midst of this world, we have new and better communication, and yet we still remain not truly connected. We're busy, but unproductive. Entertained, but bored with life. Surrounded by people, but infinitely lonely. And it is into this world, that we ask the question, what does the future really hold? Is the future really something I can believe in? Is it just going to be more technology, more speed, and less life? Is that my future? Is that what the future holds for me? And God speaks to His church, and He calls us to a grander future. It transcends technology. It transcends changing moral norms. It touches us in our lives, in our jobs, in our relationships, in our families, right where we are right now, here and now. God gives us a promise. For I know the plans I have for you. Plans for a hope and for a future. It's what God says to His people. If you are the guy or the girl in your job and it's dead end and you ask yourself, am I going to be here 10 years from now? And I don't want to be. If you are a single parent, this word is for you. If you are retired or elderly and you feel like you know, your life is over, this word is for you. If you are in a cubicle, this word is for you. If you feel empty, if you feel like you're never going to connect, if you feel like you're never going to be happy, if you feel like you don't have a future, you don't know where you're going, this word is for you. The word of the Lord says to you, I have a mission, I have a quest, I have a purpose, a calling, a story, an epic tale that you are the main character of. That I am calling you to. And the word of God comes. It comes and it speaks to the heart. If only we would listen. And He calls us to that quest, that mission. He calls us to be a missional people. A missional people. Whenever God speaks to people in the Bible, and even in our world today, He doesn't call them to narcissism. Nor does He call them to selfishness. He calls them to live a life beyond themselves. God revealed Himself to Abraham and said, I want to make you the father of many nations, and through you I will bless the world. He called him, spoke to him, calling him to something greater than just his little tribe in the middle of the desert, in the middle of nowhere. God spoke to Moses in a burning bush. A man who was a murderer, rejected from Egypt, walked into a cave, and God says, take your shoes off, you're in a holy place. And says, I need you to go to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. God speaks to Joshua and says, possess the land. And in the same way, God spoke to Martin Luther King when he said, there is injustice in the world, and I want you to look beyond yourself and beyond your congregation to embrace passive resistance and bring civil freedom in America. And he spoke the same thing to Mother Teresa when she was in a privileged school. And she looked out of her window and saw kids dying on the street. God called her beyond herself, beyond her personal goals, into something greater. And this is the voice of God. The voice of God, beyond just my little things today, God calls you to a mission, a purpose, a calling, something greater, something grand. And it's different and unique for all of us. And if all of us could just hear it, if all of us could hear the voice of our future that God speaks to us, everything, everything would be different. I think of Isaiah. Isaiah, to me, when I read Isaiah chapter 6 and his calling to ministry, he seems like just a normal guy to me. He seems like a guy that has a decent job or whatever, he's doing life, and he's in this temple, and all of a sudden God shows up. It says the train of his robe filled the temple with glory, and there were seraphim and angels and smoke and lightning. And in the midst of this, God shouts out, not to Isaiah, but to all the people, "Who will go for me? Whom shall I send?" And I always picture Isaiah as being that guy who just wants a purpose, a goal in his life. And like with all of his heart, and this is what the Bible says, he says, "Here I am, Lord. Lord, send me. Send me, God." And this is the voice of the human spirit that cries out to a God who says, "Who will go for us?" Our spirits want to say yes. Our spirits want to say yes. They want to say, "Send me, God." They want to say, "Send me into the dark places. Send me to hurting people. Send me to people that are suffering. Send me to people that are less fortunate than myself." But it is the world that says, "Nah, man, you need more money. You need more stuff. You need you time." But it's God that says, "Move beyond yourself." It's Jesus who is the ultimate fulfillment of this ideal. Jesus said, "If you want to gain life, you must lose your own. You must give it up for my sake." Jesus was the greatest human life in history. He was God in the flesh, no doubt about it. But in his life, we see the perfect way to have what Jesus called joy. Joy that will last. It's amazing to me, Jesus being the most glorious and perfect being ever. And not only that, the representation of who God really is. Because it overwhelms that nagging sense that God wants to get back at me or that God wants to punish me. Because in Jesus, you just don't see that. You see a Jesus who guides, who corrects. You see a Jesus who embraces, a Jesus who teaches, who loves, you know? You know, this is kind of funny. Jesus sort of had an eating ministry. I'm serious. He had an eating ministry. You know, in Christ's time, to eat with somebody was to call them your equal. That's why kings would sit at elevated tables away from the court. Jesus, the King of Kings, would eat with the lonely, the forgotten, the rejected, the lepers, you know? Enough so that his disciples, his followers, would say, "Rabbi, don't you know who that man is? Rabbi, don't you know who she is, what she does for a living? Rabbi." A rabbi called those people to his table. His life and his ministry were unmatchable. He blessed, he healed, he raised the dead, he changed social structures, he affected the government, he changed people's lives. And everywhere he went, things changed for the better. It's interesting because we think that this Jesus doesn't really call us normal people. He calls guys like Robert Shuler, right? Well, Robert Shuler was a farm boy, but it's easy to believe that God calls people who are born into privilege. But Jesus called fishermen, you know, to follow him and be his apostles. He asked a rich young punk to be his apostle. He invited accountants. He invited hookers. He invited eunuchs to follow him and to be like him and to learn from him. He called these people to be like him, and in calling them, gave them a future that they could believe in. And in this moment, the same Jesus, by his Holy Spirit, in this room, here and now, speaks to you. Wherever you are in your life, man, follow me. Follow me. And I will lead you to life, a joy that is everlasting, it never ends, you know? And this is why we as believers are called to enter into discipleship. Discipleship is something that is kind of thrown around a lot. A lot of Christians, when they think of the Great Commission, for example, which is Matthew 28, it usually comes out of them thinking something like, go into all the world preaching the gospel, isn't it? But that's not what Jesus says in the Great Commission. Jesus says to his apostles, go into all the world making disciples, baptizing them in the Trinitarian reality, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. You see, living in the Jesus way is the best way to live life. It's so much more than just believing theology and getting into heaven, although that is great, and by no means would I ever diminish that gift that God gives us. There is so much more. How many of you who have been raised in the church felt that the day you received Christ, your journey ended? I'm here to tell you, the day you receive Christ, your journey begins. It begins as a path of a discipleship. Dallas Willard calls this, he likes to use the word, becoming Christ's apprentice. Being his apprentice. I remember when I was in the garage of my dad one time, and he said, hand me an Allen wrench. And I said, what's an Allen wrench? And just, you know, like, turned on me like, what's an Allen wrench? You know, this kind of, this thing. And he said, you know what, my son, you need to learn your tools. And so, so he sent me to Rancho Capistrano, where I worked as a maintenance guy. And I worked under this man, a wonderful man named Tim, as sort of an apprentice. And Tim would take me around to different jobs. He would teach me how to put locks on the doors and make keys and build things and paint things. And he would always say, you know, do it right the first time. He would teach me to fix things and build things. And I started with little projects. And every summer, for like 3 years, I made $6 an hour. And I was an apprentice to Tim to learn how to build and fix things. And by the end of that time, I was making master keys, building staircases and sound equipment. And I watched that over the years of being Tim's apprentice, it changed me. Gave me confidence, gave me a guide, showed me how to live, to lead my life. That's why we as believers are called beyond so much more than just debating eschatological theology. It's about being an apprentice to Jesus, looking like him, acting like him, inviting hookers and eunuchs, tax collectors, businessmen, the lonely, the forgotten, the blessed, whoever to your table in the spirit of love, acceptance, change. This is what Jesus was about. The greatest commandment, he said, was love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And this is the message of Christianity. And so we get to the 2000th episode. What did this have to do with 2,000 years of Our Power? Oh, not years. Hey, who knows? I know. What does this have to do with the 2000th Hour of Power episode? And I'll get there. You know, when my grandpa was my age, he wasn't trying to build a church necessarily for all those people who were used to church. He was like Jesus. He went into the dark places. He went to the place called drive-in movie theater. You know, he got so much heat and junk and criticism for that because he went to what they called back in those days the passion pit. People would go to make out in their cars. And he invited people who were not used to church, and didn't like church, to come as you are in the family car. Right? And through this, the ministry thrived. And when television, the new universal median, came, he said, we can do something with this. We can reach beyond just Orange County, man. We can reach the whole world. And so there he was. He decided to reach the whole world. And here we are, years later, proclaiming a message that is true to the nature and the life of Jesus Christ. One that believes in the future, that believes in possibility and purpose and hope. And my dad now, I have to tell you, you guys are so lucky to have the senior pastor right here. He is an incredible visionary and an incredible man. And if I'm ever half the man that my dad is, I'll be a great man. I'll be honest with you. My dad continues this vision, the original purpose of this ministry, to go into China, to go into Africa, to go into South America, to promote justice over the world, to bring wheelchairs to people that can't walk. And he sees a newer universal medium, which is, anybody guess? Just say it if you got it. Internet, come on, hello. My dad sees the internet. He says, you know what? We can use this. We can use this to get across the world using free messages to promote the message of Jesus Christ in the world. And I will tell you something. That this message, the message of hope and life, Jesus Christ, that you really do have a future for you. This message, the gospel of Jesus Christ, we will continue to preach forever. My family, my friends, the elders of this ministry, the leaders of this ministry, the eagles, the sparrows, everyone that is a part of this ministry will continue to proclaim the words and the life of Jesus Christ until our last dying breath. And that is the future. The future. The future is bright regardless of our changing rapid world, because the future has us, a people who are human, who make mistakes, who are messed up, but we come together and we say, you know what, Christ is the center of our lives. We can change and we can be better. Amen.
Thank you, Bobby, for a fabulous message. How many people here think we have a future? Yeah, amen to that, huh? So with that, let me give you a closing benediction. And now may the power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, fill your hearts and your minds with His knowledge and His reality and His goodness. And may His love flow through you. And may everyone you touch this week feel His love through you. Amen.
Ja, zo komt er een einde aan deze geweldige uitzending vanuit de Crystal Cathedral. Wat heeft Robbie Schulle indrukwekkend gesproken. En wat een bemoediging van zo'n jongeman van 24 jaar. Die zo inspirerend vanuit zijn hart en vanuit het evangelie. En vanuit zijn onverwoestbare vertrouwen in God de jongeren ook toespreekt. Wij gaan afscheid nemen terwijl het koor op de achtergrond neuriet. De nacht gaat voorbij, een prachtig lied. En die gaat voorbij en de nieuwe morgen komt. En ik ben blij dat wij in al die uitzendingen van Avond of Power daar steeds over mogen vertellen. God houdt van u en wij ook. En graag tot volgende week.
En toch gaan de wolken weg, weg voor de zonneschijn. Weg voor de zonneschijn. En toch gaat de nacht voorbij. Dan zal het beter zijn, dan zal het beter zijn. En toch gaan de wolken weg, weg voor de zonneschijn. Weg voor de zonneschijn. En toch gaat de nacht voorbij. Dan zal het beter zijn, dan zal het beter zijn. En toch gaan de wolken weg, weg voor de zonneschijn. Voor de zonneschijn. En toch gaat de nacht voorbij. Dan zal het beter zijn. Dan zal het beter zijn. En toch gaan de wolken weg. Weg voor de zonneschijn. Weg voor de zonneschijn.